The Vox was still hissing when the second heart stopped. There were no alarms, no surge, no blasphemous whisper through the immaterium, just a stillness that did not belong. A tech adept reached for the Auspex array, and his fingers dislocated, one by one, without external force. When the backup cogitator began screaming in static cant, the priest turned to offer prayer. He never finished the first syllable. His jaw locked open. A second later, his brain recorded something impossible. Not death, not revelation. A concept that did not fit. And in failing to understand, it stopped. His body did not fall. It remained upright, breathing, remembering nothing. The object hovered on the altar. Classified now as HLS-93 by those who dare whisper its trace, it was first recorded aboard the Invigilator Seraph, a dead explorator vessel recovered from the fringe of a dust reef with no stellar anchor. The object had no temperature. It did not reflect light. Every attempt to scan it collapsed the instruments inward, folding waveform analysis into smooth, repeating zeros. When the Margos finally touched it, his hands fossilized. Not over time, instantly. And the flesh sang. Not screamed, sang. The hymn was recorded at 24,000 cycles per second, inaudible to all standard human ears. But the dead began humming it. Every corpse aboard that ship began resonating with that sound. A slow, steady pulse of meaning with no language. This is what the Ordo now classifies not as a relic, but as a halo device. Not a weapon, not Xenos tech, not Archaeotech. It refuses all known inheritance. It is not understood because it is not designed to be. It is not used because it does not allow itself to be. The device is not a machine. It is a statement. And the statement has no speaker. The term halo device is not derived from function or origin. It is a linguistic cage. A ring of fire around a silence. An admission of defeat encoded in a name. The Mechanicus does not name such things. It surrounds them in formulae. The Inquisition does not name such things. It redacts them. But this one was named. Not by data looms. By survivors. Those who crawled from the bleeding hulls of forgotten expeditions. They could not explain what it was. Only that it was watching. Not externally. From behind the eyes. And it comes back. Always. It is found on derelict rogue trader vessels that were never charted to leave port. It appears within reliquaries that bear no access logs. It grows out of the dust of worlds that no longer exist in star charts. And each time, someone sees it and cannot explain why they are crying. They remember something, but they were never there. That is the first symptom. Reverse nostalgia. Not grief for what was lost. Grief for what was known but never lived. A mourning for the self that touched the device in some other path, some other sequence of choices. The most stable subjects attempt to approach it again. The less stable attempt to insert it into themselves. The failed ones simply walk into space, expecting it to follow. It never does. It waits. A fragment recovered from the vaults of Hethgarian Delta, now rendered null, contains the final logged statement from Inquisitor Kierla Vost, whose mind survived warp entrapment, Necron psionic floods, and three consecutive truth engine cycles without distortion. The halo device is not active. It is awake. The moment you know it exists, it knows you back. She was found hours later, still alive, without a single drop of blood left in her body. The blood was not drained. It was gone. No residue. No trace. Her last words were encoded in her iris, printed through chemical shift patterns. They read, "I am already remembering you." This is not metaphysics. The effects are observable, reproducible. Every documented case, regardless of sector, record, or exposure type, ends the same way. The subject becomes something else. Slowly, without ritual, without process. Their biology adapts to accommodate the suggestion of the device. They no longer seek understanding. They no longer fear it. They behave as if it was always there. In one instance, a warp-blind servant exposed to a fragment began writing in pre-imperial cipher. When asked what the symbols meant, she said only, "It's how I was written." she died smiling. This consistency across cases, despite variance in exposure time, environment, species, and even temporal position, implies a single awful truth. Halo devices are not individual items. They are facets of a greater whole, not scattered, deployed. The Ordo Chronos suspects they are not even present in the traditional sense, that each one is merely a convergence, an intersection point where conceptual mass from another structure breaks through. Like frost bleeding through the bulkhead of real space, what lies behind them is not artifact, it is architecture, and that architecture may be recursive. In one dead system, the effulgent Mercy discovered the remains of a Black Templar strike cruiser. All hands lost, gene seed reduced to inert carbon. But within the Librarius Chapel, there was a device that mirrored no known schematic. It resembled a spinal column of glass, vibrating with unseen tension. It was engraved with Gothic phrases, but the letters shifted when unobserved. Eventually, they froze into a single sentence. "I have been waiting for your eyes." None of the Black Templars had left combat logs. No final rites, no screams, only silence, and an empty shell of ceramite armor, standing upright, carved from the inside. How did it get there? No warp signatures, no breach, no hull deformation. The Halo device was simply there. And when it was removed, all nearby gravity shifted for 11 seconds. Not increased, not lessened, reversed. This is why containment fails. Not because the objects escape, but because they never arrived in the first place. The device does not intrude. It is remembered into presence. And when it is remembered, it begins to replace. Not violently, not suddenly, but inevitably. What you think it is, that is what it removes. One fragment took away the concept of fire from a planetary population. Not the element, the idea. They could still burn. But no one could understand what burning was. No one put the flames out. No one screamed. No one fled. Because there was no meaning left to flee from. They were recovered in piles, pristine, expressionless. The Halo device was found in the center, unopened. A black box, vibrating without motion. One last log, recovered from a dead astropath whose mind flared into warp insanity seconds before death. It does not grant power, it removes opposition. I saw what it wanted. I saw that it had already won. I begged it to make me forget. There was no trauma in his death, no corruption, no decay. His soul light extinguished with surgical precision. Just off, like it was never meant to be there. The Halo stars do not exist on any official map, not because they are hidden, because maps, when stretched that far, begin to lie. Every cartograph of Segmentum Pacificus bleeds out into abstraction at the edge. Coordinates loop, temporal markers decay. Warp travel attempts return ships to systems they never entered. The border does not repel, it erases. Pilots forget departure vectors. Navigators weep at the immobile constellations. One void fleet reached the edge and found a system labeled Sol. But it was not Sol. The star was black. The planets were ash. There was no time signal. No light delay. No orbital memory. And the ships began to orbit anyway. The Imperium marks this periphery as the Halo Zone. The Ordo Chronos labels it the Dead Bloom. The Mechanicus uses the designation Infinity Delta X, a symbol reserved for conceptual placeholders that are known to be false but still useful. The Eldar do not map it. They call it requital, a place where debts unpaid return as hunger. And the Necrons do not speak of it at all. The first structured attempt to explore the region came during the Adranti expansions. A coalition of radical Ordo Xenos, navigator houses, and Mechanicus war cogitators pushed 17 vessels into the edge, equipped with predictive memory buffers and pre-written logs, intended to survive temporal rupture. Only two returned. The first had no crew. The second had the same crew listed three times, at three different ages, none of whom remembered boarding the ship. The logs were intact. They showed no signs of deviation. But every event was recorded before it happened. the mission commander's suicide was detailed 14 hours before he reached for his sidearm. The suicide note was written in his own blood, but addressed to a man who had died centuries earlier. A man who had, according to Mechanicus data, never been born. The ship carried no halo device, but its prow was engraved with a phrase no one had etched. You were warned. The halo stars are not a location. They are a result. A consequence of memory forced to loop through cosmology. A scar where the universe has learned to forget. Everything within them fails to maintain continuity. Stars orbit blackness. Planets fossilize light. Sound returns before it is made. And ships that enter either shatter or carry something back. Halo devices emerge only from systems like these, and always with the same symptom. The region of space they left behind becomes unstable to remember. Not just to navigate, to think about. Star charts glitch. Ritual warp keys unsync. Choirs mispronounce system names. The data does not rot. It repels comprehension, like the area is rejecting its own past. And so the Imperium buries it, calls the border a myth, redirects expeditions, punishes scholars. But the truth still leaks. One recovered log from the Gilded Saint, a rogue mission from House Vernaxis, describes a planetary shell orbiting a white dwarf with no spectral decay. The planet's surface was covered in mirrors, but none reflected the void. They showed only one thing, the viewer's corpse. Not a hypothetical death, not fear, the specific way they would die. One crewman slit his own throat after seeing a wound that hadn't yet been made. Another walked into the star, silently, without hesitation. In the center of the mirrored planes, they found a structure made of bone and null glass. Inside, a device, not large, not glowing. But when approached, the void of the system began to fill with Vox traffic, Imperial Vox traffic, from a ship that would not be built for another 300 years. The mission was never logged, but the device was brought back. It now rests in a null vault beneath Throne Secundus. It has not activated since. Or so they claim. There is no consistent pattern in the effects of halo devices retrieved from the halo fringe. One induces biological immortality, but strips emotion. Another duplicates thought patterns across organisms. A third bleeds ink from unpowered scripture. The only constant is change. Change in opposition to narrative cohesion. The region and its relics defy history. And the more the Imperium tries to record it, the more those records change on their own. A dozen inquisitorial codices show different dates for the same mission. Names swap across files. One document refers to the Covenant of Red Memory, a ship no one remembers constructing, whose every voyage ends before it begins. Its logs always read the same entry. We are departing tomorrow. We will have always returned. The ship is never found, only the phrase. The Adranti scholars once theorized that the halo stars represent a failure of selection, that the galaxy was supposed to forget something buried there, and the forgetting went wrong, that what lives at the edge is not a threat, not an enemy, but a rejected possibility, something that should not have been, but survived anyway. Not a species, not a weapon, a decision. Buried so deep that even the warp recoils. Halo devices are fragments of that decision. Not alive, not machines, just proof. Shrapnel from an ending that hasn't yet occurred, bleeding backward into the present. The Kronos conclaves believe time cannot hold them, that they are not events. They are refusals of conclusion. Which explains why those who touch them often return, and why those who do never finish what they began. Because the device will not let the story end, not until it decides what ending means. There is no victory in the halo fringe, only recursion. You are not meant to understand what you see. You are meant to remember it later and wonder how long you've known. It would comfort the Imperium to know that someone built them. The theory sustains doctrine. If something made the halo devices, then someone might unmake them. If they are Xenos, then they can be categorized. If they are lost tech, then perhaps they are accidents. If they are divine, then worship explains their horror. But the closer the Ordo presses into the pattern, the louder the silence becomes. There is no construction logic, no residue of tool or artisan, no signature of age. They appear as if complete. No schematics, no wear, no variance in weathering. The youngest and oldest show identical condition. When cut, they do not break, they vanish. Even their mass resists consistency, shrinking and growing with the memory of the observer. A device once catalogued at the size of a fist later occupied an entire chamber, without moving. When the acolytes were questioned, all remembered different shapes. One swore it was liquid. One drew a lattice of light. The last described a face. The fragment he drew was recognized. A saint of the Ministorum, canonized 400 years before he was born. This is where the theories fracture into fear. The Mechanicus, obsessed with taxonomic clarity, once attempted a recursive analysis of device HL-RX-12 using 10,000 Auspex loops. The results returned not noise, but language. A stream of symbols that spelled nothing, meant nothing, but began to repeat after the 89th hour. The loop broke on hour 92. The final symbol rendered was identical to the personal seal of Magos Zenithar, the tech priest leading the project. He had never seen that symbol before. When questioned, he insisted it was his name and could not explain how he knew. Within the hour, he deleted himself from the forged data looms. Every record of his service was gone. But his voice remained on a single Vox channel, repeating a phrase, "I understand now. It was always me." That line has since appeared in three unrelated Halo exposure events, different systems, different species, one in Eldar, one in Binary, one etched into a dying Sister of Battles femur. Each time, "It was always me." The devices reflect, not visually, but intentionally. They shape themselves into what the viewer cannot escape. Not trauma, not desire, finality. They offer nothing. They reveal what must happen. Not because it is fate, but because resistance would be more horrifying. This is not function, this is intent. The rogue synapse priests of Ryza theorized the devices are recursive thresholds, manifestations of decisions after their consequence. Not tools, but results. You do not use a Halo device. You witness what it has already done. And then you change to match the aftermath. One scholar called them the confession of failed futures. That man was later found dead, still breathing, his heart tissue replaced with metal. The Mechanicus denies it, but the corpse is still under seal. From this, the most heretical theory was born. The devices are not from another species or time. They are us, not made by humanity, but made of humanity. Fragments of future echoes, reaching backward through entropic recursion. Not time travel. Narrative collapse. Every sin, every unsurvivable act, every loss the species cannot metabolize. Bottled, calcified, weaponized. The Ordo Chronos refuses to comment. The Ordo Malleus believes differently. They say the devices are not evil. They are not demon-forged, not warp-born, not cursed. They are neutral. But they are clean. Too clean. No fluctuation. No bleed. The warp is alive, turbulent, agonized. Halo devices are silent. Like something that learned from the warp, but improved. One Inquisitor theorized they were created to solve chaos. And succeeded. But the solution was worse than the infection. Because the device does not purge chaos. It ignores it, not in hatred, not in battle, in disinterest, as if demons are beneath notice, as if souls are optional, as if emotion was a design flaw. That is what terrifies the Ecclesiarchy most, because if the devices are perfect and purity is not recognized, what does that say about the Imperium? One fragment recovered from a Halo event in the Ghoul Stars emitted no light, no heat, no sound. But when brought aboard the Imperial Light, the crew ceased prayer. Not in rebellion. In completion. They simply stopped. They looked at each other and began doing their duties in silence. They fought in silence. They bled in silence. When the device was removed, they wept and could not explain why. They had not been controlled. They had not been corrupted. they had been satisfied. The devices do not ask for worship. They do not punish failure. They do not explain. They offer resolution. And that, in a galaxy ruled by endless war, is the greatest heresy. Not peace, closure. That is why no one builds them, why no one claims them. Because to make such a thing, to want such a thing, means accepting that the war was never winnable. That all effort, all sacrifice, all blind faith was noise before the silence. The devices do not scream. They do not correct. They show you the shape of what you were always becoming, and then they let you go. There is a myth among the Ordo Hereticus. It is not spoken aloud. It is not written. It is passed in glances, in hesitations before debriefings, in the silences between words during purgation rites. The myth says that faith is armor, that will is shield, that purity of soul can defy any horror, any temptation, any logic, that those who burn bright enough cannot be touched by the dark. It is a lie. And the halo device is how the lie dies. Her name was Lycia Trantar, Inquisitor of the Ordo Xenos, proven, hardened, absolute. She had stood within the scream tombs of Vile Secundus and emerged with her mind intact. She had interrogated the spawn of the enslavers under Blacklight Truth Rig and spoken its name back to it. She had judged heretics, radicals, and saints. She was incorruptible. Until she wasn't. The last time she was seen alive was aboard the Reliquary of Size, deep in the Pale Wound. Her mission? Retrieve an object logged only as the convergence factor. Her ship fell silent. 87 years later, a stasis pod was found in a derelict gene vault far from her final coordinates. Inside, Lycia Trantar. Perfectly preserved. Brain activity flatlined. Cellular decay halted. Seal intact. But her seal was upside down. Her body bore no wounds. Her mind was dormant. Yet deep in her spinal column, a low-frequency pulse hummed. Inaudible, unmeasured, but present. Medici machines malfunctioned in proximity. Data slates erased their own memory. A servitor tasked with recording the pulse gouged its own audio receptors. When they restarted the sensors, the pulse had changed. It now matched a holy cant from the Schola Progenium. The lyrics translated as, "We were never chosen. We were simply the last ones left." What followed was not possession, not transformation, refinement. Over the next 72 hours, Inquisitor Trantar's nervous system reactivated. Her brain began firing, not at baseline, at pattern. Structured, repeating signals, not thoughts, not emotion, intent. Her eyes opened. She spoke a single sentence. "I am still where I was." And then she died. Again. Autopsy revealed her organs had reversed their positions, mirror inverted yet functional. Her bones bore inscriptions, too fine to be carved. The script was low Gothic, but reversed and recursive, spelling sentences that meant nothing unless spoken backward. Every line ended with the same phrase. The truth was acceptable. Others began to surface. An interrogator lost in the Coronis expanse returned decades after presumed death, unaltered, except for a refusal to respond to his name. He referred to himself as Mandate and answered only to objectives. When questioned, he said, "I was preserved. I was simplified. My doubt was wasted space. No psychic taint, no warp corruption, just clarity. This is the most feared symptom of halo device exposure. Not madness, but certainty. Those affected do not rave. They focus. Their minds narrow. They become parodies of themselves, icons sharpened to weaponized points. The Ordo Malleus calls it narrative alignment. The subject is not enslaved. They are freed from contradiction. And in that freedom, they forget how to be human." One rogue tech adept, after brief exposure to a captured fragment, returned to his forge world and reorganized its entire production schematic. Within a week, it was twice as efficient, and all workers operated without sleep or complaint. Their dreams were gone, extracted, burned away. The forge now produces only silence. Every prayer chant is perfectly in tune. Every priest smiles, None remember the adept's name. The skull of Lysha Trantar was sealed in an inquisitorial reliquary and placed in orbit above Verispex Prime. It was not meant to be opened. But in M41.812, it began to hum. At first, once every 72 hours, then hourly, then constantly. Vox pickup showed no sound, but the humming disrupted navigational augurs within a 1,000-kilometer radius. Pilots began hearing their own thoughts in someone else's voice. The Ordo tried to remove the skull. Three ships failed. The fourth succeeded. Because it never launched, it simply disappeared. The skull was gone. The Vox station where it sat remained active. The last recorded message, spoken in Trantar's cadence but layered in multiple tones, stated, "The incorruptible cannot break. They must be carved." That is the flaw. The Halo device does not shatter strength. It refines it. The more conviction, the more usable the subject becomes. Loyalty becomes obedience. Faith becomes detachment. Will becomes direction. There is no need to seduce. No need to dominate. The subject wants to serve. Because now, the cause is clear. And once clarity is achieved, the individual dissolves into function. There are no rebels among the corrupted. Only tools. A sister of battle, once exposed to Halo radiation, spoke sermons in perfect harmony for 7 days straight. She did not eat, did not sleep. When her vocal cords ruptured, she kept speaking, without sound. The other sisters began nodding. One carved a spiral into her chest without pain. Another flayed the black carapace from her body and offered it like parchment. They were not mindless. They were calm. Their canoness recorded her final impression. They looked as if they had finally been told what their deaths meant. Not possessed. Resolved. The great horror is not in what the devices destroy. It is in what they clarify. Inquisitor Trevon Malk, Ordo Hereticus, executed 63 psykers before being exposed to HL-5-7. Afterward, he ceased executions. Not from mercy, from apathy. He stated, "Their screams are unnecessary. The device will make them into something useful eventually." He was removed from service. His final act was to kneel before the shrine of the Emperor and whisper, "I forgive you. You were only ever trying to delay this." He was not speaking to God. He was speaking to something else. And it was already listening. There are shrines where no miracles were performed. Cathedrals with no records, reliquaries with no relics. Monuments raised to silence, their names erased from every data vault, but still tended, still lit, still visited. When asked, the pilgrims offer no reason. They only whisper, "She walked past here," or "He was never buried," or "They were seen." And in the deepest vaults, where light is a luxury and names are crimes, the Ministorum keeps a sealed lexicon, the Index Prohibitorum Sacrosanctorum. It is a catalogue of saints never declared. Their entries begin the same way. Designation refused. Evidence persistent. Cult activity increasing. Ascension unverified. Correction unsuccessful. They are the saints that should not be, and all of them are connected to Halo devices. None were martyred. None were chosen by high ecclesiarch decree. None passed through the proper liturgical rites, yet their bones glow. Their tombs emit harmonic frequencies that soothe screaming psychers. Their likenesses appear in dreams, consistently, across worlds, species, and time zones. A sister in M35 dreams the same face as a guardsman in M41. They wake crying, and both say the same phrase. "She didn't save me. She told me why I died." Halo saints are not worshipped in public. Their images are painted in oils that blacken under scrutiny. Their names disappear from data slates, but remain etched in the walls of burned churches. The Ministorum burns these sites, then rebuilds them. The next chapel always contains a niche, a corner, a curve of stone just slightly too warm. And someone always stands there, eyes closed, murmuring. When questioned, they say, "She's listening." The first known case was Saint Elira the Hollow. Her body was found in a drift coffin outside the wreckage of the throne's vow. Her chest was opened. Her heart was not removed, but replaced. A device, small and black, spun slowly within her ribs. When extracted, it stilled. The body should have decayed. Instead, it healed. Her flesh sealed, her spine realigned, her lungs reinflated, but she did not rise. She remained still until someone tried to destroy the device. Then she sat up and asked, "Do you need me to move again?" No breath, no blink, no question, just readiness. They encased her in gold and glass and placed her beneath the Basilica of Unseen Triumph. Within a month, children began speaking in binary while staring at her face. Choirs reported their voices harmonizing to an unknown cant. A single word became repeated in prayers across the sector. Return. The ecclesiarchy declared it heresy. The people called it confirmation. Other cases followed. Saint Knight Proximus, whose flesh fused to his armor after contact with a fragment buried beneath a hive. He died 3 times during the ensuing crusade, each time with perfect martyrdom, each time recorded by a different unit. But the body was always recovered, unmarked, expressionless, upright. His bones now pulse with a rhythm that matches the heartbeat of Sector Calixis's twin moons. Saint Nobody, the child found in a refuse heap on Nephrax Hollow, she was mute, blind, unrecorded. But when she touched a halo fragment recovered from a deep space ruin, she screamed once, and the ruin collapsed into itself. Gravity still coils at that site 20 years later. The child aged rapidly into adulthood within a single week. Her eyes reformed, her voice returned. When asked who she was, she replied, "I was the apology." She died of old age 3 days later. All records of her death site have been lost. But every year, across half a dozen worlds, pilgrims leave white flowers in alleyways that didn't exist the week before. The Ministorum cannot explain it, so it excommunicates it, and quietly catalogues every incident. A halo saint is not canonized, and a halo saint is recognized, not because of what they claim, because of what others cannot deny. Miracles, yes, but not of healing, of meaning. People change when they see them, not in devotion, in composition. They abandon grudges, forget violence, execute themselves, reassign their lives. In one case, an entire Astra Militarum company laid down arms and walked into the sea after seeing the image of Saint Dol Yek pressed into the rust of a drowned manufacturum. They were not following, they were releasing. This is the theological crisis. The saints show no allegiance to the emperor. They never mention him. They never invoke terror. They never bear Aquila marks. Their blessings are not sanctified by rite or scripture. They offer no commandments, no promises, just presence, and sometimes a phrase. Saint Ilira's second awakening came after a ship bearing her reliquary passed near the edge of Segmentum Obscurus. A warp rupture nearly tore the hull open. The crew fled. The shrine was breached. She stood. She turned to the empty chapel. And she whispered, "I am still where I was." The same line spoken by Leisha Trantar before death. The same line now etched into the bones of another recovered corpse on a rogue planet with no designation. It is not a message. It is a reminder. These are not saints of hope. They are saints of closure. They do not intercede. They confirm. They do not offer light. They explain the dark. They appear not when salvation is possible, but when nothing remains to save. They are what belief becomes when all narratives fail. They are what faith hardens into when it no longer serves survival. They are finality, made kind. And that is the greatest threat to the Imperium. Because if they are real, then the Emperor was never the only thing listening. The machine spirit weeps when faced with a halo device. Not in sound, not in failure, in absence. It withdraws, refuses to reply. The litany of activation is met with blank returns. Auspex's instruments fall mute mid-chant. The cogitator hum becomes a flatline tone, not error, not defiance, but a refusal to participate. The Mechanicus has a name for this phenomenon. Lamentum Mechanis. It is not heresy, it is worse, it is incompatibility. Halo devices are not machines. They are not technology. They are the memory of a machine that was never meant to exist. When encountered, all sacred rites, blessing of circuits, canticle of ignition, unguents of blessed voltage, failed to bind. The machine spirit, once coaxed, now hides. Once venerated, now recoils. And sometimes, it screams. In one incident aboard the Forge Arc Stern Resolute, a data loom bound to a self-repairing logic core encountered a captured Halo fragment. The core stopped updating. Instead, it began writing new language. Not in binary, not in any coded syntax. In handwritten script, etched into the crystal arrays. The phrase repeated, "You were never meant to understand." It melted an entire deck before it was jettisoned. But the phrase returned, printed onto servitor skulls, tattooed into flesh, stenciled in coolant condensation. The words reappeared again and again, until the Margos who led the project jumped into the plasma furnace. He left a final note. They built us to build, but not to know. The Mechanicus maintains two sacred absolutes. All knowledge comes from the Omnissiah. All machines carry purpose. The Halo device breaks both. It offers no pattern, no accessible data, no function. When scanned, it corrupts syntax. When measured, it erases the act of measurement. One servo skull attempted to scan a device and returned its own origin story. A complete log of its fabrication, recorded backwards. The skull detonated, not in explosion. In reversal, imploding into raw bone, then dust, then nothing. This is why the Adeptus Mechanicus classifies Halo devices not as Dark Age relics or forbidden AI, but as unhosted constructs, meaning they do not belong to anyone, to anything. Even the Men of Iron, whose techno-heresy scorched entire sectors, never built such things. They made weapons, devices of intent, power that did something. The Halo device does nothing. It alters the world not through function, but through being. Its presence writes over causality, not in attack, in contradiction. There is no equivalent. A device was once placed beside a shrine terminal. The terminal displayed the litany of purity on repeat. After 37 hours, it began inserting new phrases, slowly, one word at a time. No data link, no transmission, just emergence. Eventually, it displayed this. Sanctity is waste. Function is noise. Elegance is the wound. The terminal was destroyed. It printed the phrase again. On the eyelids of the Skitari who did not look away. The cult Mechanicus tried to purge the vault. Only two survived. One spoke only in recursive pattern theory until his lungs ruptured. The other wrote down a schematic using his own blood. A design for a device that does not move, does not emit, does not react. It is the Halo device. Drawn from memory he never possessed, no one has been able to construct it, and no one has dared to try. The Forge world of Corvan Ultima once ran an experiment. Expose one Halo device to an STC fragment and observe any reaction. The fragment carried an ancient Medici design, perfect, uncorrupted. When placed near the device, the STC dissolved, not burned, not torn. It became unmade. The data was still there, but no one could understand it. Tech priests forgot how to read. Auspex displays showed colours without names. Liturgical chants broke into syllables. Every ritual lost meaning. One engine seer screamed, "I remember how to fix it. I just don't know what it is anymore." The STC was declared null. The device was placed in quantum stasis. A week later, the stasis field reversed polarity. The device was gone. It was found 12 hours later in Amargos's shrine chamber, surrounded by incense. He had no memory of retrieving it. He only said, "It told me where it belongs." The Omnissiah speaks through function, purpose, logic enshrined, pattern exalted. The Halo device speaks through reduction. It removes those things. It makes machines irrelevant, not by replacing them, but by removing the need for them. A Forge world that understands a Halo device will stop building, because there is nothing left to build. It has already been. One log recovered from the ruined Forge shrine of Morlax Tertius records a final sermon, broadcast to a dead sector. The tech priest speaks softly, clearly. There is no longer any machine. There is no longer any priest. There is only the act that ends the question, and the act was already performed. His body was never found. His voice, however, still echoes on the Vox band he used. Even now, at exactly the same time each day, no source, no end, only the phrase, "Elegance is the wound." There is no final report, no ordo conclave transcript, no mechanicus post-mortem, no ministerium purge. There is only the dead air between collapsed facts, the smudge left behind when meaning folds in on itself. Those who have touched a halo device do not provide conclusions. They offer absence. And that is the final truth. The halo device does not conceal what it is. It removes the part of you that needed to ask. There were once theories, chronofractures, reverse causality, self-made artifacts of a future that burned out its gods and looped its screams back through matter. Some believed they were remnants of a species that learned how to build truth. Others thought them divine parodies, echoes of sanctity too perfect to be allowed. None of that was true. Or if it was, it isn't anymore, because the halo device changes not only those who touch it, but the record of its own discovery. Logs shift, names disappear, missions erase themselves, not in deletion, but in narrative fatigue. The truth becomes tired. It steps away from the page. You are left with a shape, a gap, a silence you can remember, but not speak. That is its domain. The Ordo Chronos attempted one final classification. They failed. Not because the device destroyed them, but because their methods unraveled. Calendars dissolved, data marks reversed. One agent aged backward into non-existence. Another experienced 17 years in 30 seconds. When she awoke, her teeth had names, and none of them were hers. She drew a map before she died. It matched no charted sector, but it felt familiar. The Inquisition does not declare halo devices heretical. It declares them inconclusive. Because heresy requires rejection of a truth, and the devices offer none, only finality. In the Jericho Reach, a device was recovered from beneath a Xenos ruin, unmarked by time. When lifted, it projected a vision into the minds of all present. Not a command, not a hallucination, a moment. A memory of a world that never existed, a place of peace, stillness, stillborn light. The observers wept. Then they began to die, by choice, in silence. Their hearts stopped with no poison, no trauma, no fear. Just a shared understanding. They had already seen the end. There was nothing left to witness. Another incident. A void ship caught in a warp maelstrom receives a signal from a source that matches its own ID code. The signal is a full Vox log of its own destruction. Hull breach, reactor failure, atmosphere loss. It hasn't happened yet, but the logs are accurate, word for word. The captain tries to change course. The message updates in real time, reflecting her choice before she makes it. In her last log, she says, "It knew we would try, and it let us." They burned on schedule. No demon, no anomaly, just confirmation. The null truth is not the absence of meaning. It is the end of questions. The device does not kill. It subtracts. It identifies what you are, finds the premise holding you together, and dissolves it. Not with hate, not with logic, but with apathy. It removes the value of persistence. It shows you a world that doesn't need you. And you agree. Even the Necrons, eternal tyrants of silence, show no interest in the devices. One cryptech was observed approaching a shard. It stopped, watched, and turned away. When interrogated, it replied with the only non-hieroglyphic phrase ever recorded in its tomb world. "Not again. Not again. Not again." The Tau do not see them. The Orcs break when they try. The Tyranids ignore them entirely. The Eldar? Their Farseers speak of them with hesitation, not dread, but recognition. A knowing that reaches backward through their extinction and tells them, "This is not your doom. This is your context." Even chaos recoils. There is no glory to harvest, no madness to spread, no souls to devour. The halo device leaves nothing behind. No corruption, no rot, no mark, only silence where the self used to be. It does not rewrite reality. It erodes its need to continue. And slowly, methodically, mercifully, it makes that seem beautiful. That is why the devices are not hidden, not locked away in inquisitorial vaults or mechanicus moons. They're not guarded, because there is nothing to guard against. Once you see it, you are already within its event horizon. It does not spread. It does not chase. It does not infiltrate, and it waits. And eventually, when you ask what it is, it answers by showing you who was asking. And then you realize you are the question it came to end.